Next week is
not listed.
Next week is the last one?
Yeah.
Okay, so then. Okay, today we're supposed to be speaking about Inyanei Mikvaos. We discussed already Hilchas Nid that we had two sessions, so now the Inyanei of Mikvah. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shmini, Ach bor mikveh mayim yeh tohar, which we learn out that Achvor Mitzvah Mayim Yetzor. So the simple pshat, Achbor Mitzvah Mayim Yetzor. The simple pshat of this pasuk is if you have water in the ground and a sheretz, say, falls into the water, it won't become tummy. In other words, telling you that a mikvah is immune from being mekabel tum. However, Chazal understand that it's not only yetar the mikvah, but it's going on the person as well. That the person who goes into the mikvah becomes tar. Person who goes into the mikvah becomes tar. So that's what it means. Or mikvah man yetar. Now, that the person who emerges. Now, the halacha is there are two types of what we would call mikvahs. One is a mikvah, and one is a mayim. Mikvah means you have rainwater in a cavity in the ground. So say you'll have a cavity in the ground, and it'll rain, and it'll fill up. Then you go in. The shear of a mikvah is 40 saw. Which obviously is enough to cover the whole body. Enough to cover the whole body. And the halacha is that if any part of the body is sticking out from the mikvah, then the whole thing is no good. That's why the halacha is you have to have a mikvah lady to watch, say, a woman going into the mikvah to make sure that not even a strand of hair is above the water. So if one strand of hair is above the water, it's like she didn't go to the mikvah. Now, Rav Shach always likes to point out mikvah is lashon kavu v'kaimi, stationary, stagnant. It has to be stagnant water, stationary water. So if you have stationary water, you have a cavity in the ground, the water's stationary, and it's 40 saw of rainwater, so then a person who's tumid could go in. Today, basically, we use a mikvah for anita, right? For taras ha-mishpacha. Bezman Chazal, And also we use a mikvah for Tzivas Kelim. You need 40 some of stagnant water. And the same standard mikvah that you use for a woman is the same standard mikvah you use for Kelim as well. Because when you buy Kelim from a non-Jew, and you total them, so it also has to be in a mikveh 40 saw that a woman could use, that a human being could use. Again, there's man habayis, people even would go to the mikveh, you know, if a woman's need to sat in a chair, and you wanted to retire the chair, you'd have to put the chair in the mikveh. Today we're not going to put a chair in the mikveh. Because today the only two people that only go into mikvah are people and food kelim for klei suda that you buy, you know, when you do tefillas kelim, when you buy from a gadol. But that is the first idea, that a mikvah is 40 saw and has to be kadim kaimi, so therefore the concept of zochlim, if the water is moving, it's no good. Say there's a leak here. If there would be a leak, if there would be a crack in the mikveh and the water's leaking out, and it's noticeable, that's called zochlin, and zochlin is what? Is not good. Zochlin is not good. Because the whole definition, like Rav Shechter pointed, the whole definition of a mikveh is kovuv kaim. It's stagnant. It's not movable. And that's what a mikveh is all about. It's kovuv kaim. Okay?
Isn't there like a slit in there where you have the natural rainwater that like, so it touches, so then...
You're 10 steps ahead.
Okay.
10 steps ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so give me a little time and I'll explain everything to you. Now, a mikveh is mem saw of mei gishamim. It has to be rainwater. If it's not rainwater, then it's all good. It's rainwater. That's what a mikveh is. Rainwater. We'll see. It could be all the... Now, there's another... We'll have to see what I mean when I say no good. We'll discuss it. But it's rainwater. Now, the other type is called a mayim. The mayim translates like a spring. A spring is like if you dig in the ground and you find water underneath the ground, that's spring water. That's also another way. In other words, mikvahs are usually built in two ways. Either getting rainwater, or digging deep and getting spring water. But usually when we dig deep, so we get the water and we re-root it, so it's not so partial that it really has a din of mayan anyway. But and a mayan is a question whether it needs memsah, but maybe for adam it does need memsah. So that's a mayan. Another type of thing that is used is an ocean. An ocean is also kosher to be told of.
Is that like mayan, or is that something?
Yeah. So that might be like yeah.
So salt water is okay?
You know, ocean. the ocean.
Right.
The ocean word. Again, we're not here to give final, anyone listening to the shiur, we're not here to give final psukim of how to build a mikveh or how to deal with it. You'd have to ask a shiloh in any specific case because the things are very intricate. So sometimes you have a situation where a couple is on vacation and there's no mikveh, you know, in the vicinity. So we can, and there's an ocean there, so she can use the ocean to be tovel. And then, as our Rabbi pointed out, she can rely on the Noda Behuda, it's tshuva, where the Noda Behuda says if there's no mikveh lady around, the husband can serve as the mikveh lady. The husband could watch and make sure that she. I once had a situation where it was a couple, young married couple, and they were going on vacation to, and they were hoping that she would already have gone to the mikveh before the vacation, and it didn't work out that way. And they were in a, some faraway place where there was no regular mikveh, and but there was an ocean there, so we were able to. And usually there's a Lubavitcher lady who takes them, the woman there. And she was away, so we had, you know, difficulties. So consulting with Rabbi Bani, he said that we use the ocean and have the husband
be there.
But isn't
that an issue with the husband not allowed to see the woman undressed when she's in Anita?
Right. So that we just discussed in Anita share. So even though a husband normally is not allowed to see his wife undressed when she's in Anita, but here, since he's seeing her undressed right at the time that, like, if he sees her undressed in the bedroom, right, and still it's going to be, you know, a lot of time since until she's going to be tar, we're afraid that they might have intimacy. But here, it's a question of a couple of seconds till she, so we're not afraid that in such a short amount of time, he's going to do it if he can clearly do it in a permissible way by just waiting a couple of more minutes.
And then wouldn't he be more likely to not be as stringent to make sure she was fully covered because he sees her undressed now. I think he's not going to be as stringent as he needs to be because of his desires. Don't we fear that that's going to happen?
Well, in other words, say she didn't be tovel properly, so she'll just dunk again.
It can't be that hard to.
In other words, if there'll be some problem, they'll tell her to go again. In other words, in other words, you have everything right there in front of you. You know, it's not like there's still going to be a long. In other words, if there would be a long amount of time till he could be with her, so then he can't see her uncovered. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the. That's the story with the. With the ocean. Okay, now. So there's a problem here. What's the problem? Let me tell you the problem. See, this is a mikveh. You have 40 saw of rainwater and a cavity in the ground. Good, so you have your mikveh. So what's the problem? The problem is if enough ladies are being tovel, then the mikveh is going to what? Be dirty. So who's going to want to go there, right? So what do? Take this water out, right? But then, it's not going to rain overnight, it's 40 saw, right? And say, so what, you're going to be in without a mikveh. So we have to have a way that we could have surplus water and we could change the water So it'll be cleansed. So a woman every day will have a clean mikveh to go into. You see, when it comes to tefillas kelim, so all you need is a 40-star rainwater, like, you know, but the kelim never complain. Kelim never complain. So you can keep putting in your forks and your spoons. The kelim are not going to complain. But the women, they're going to complain. That's the difference. Is it kelim or women? Women can complain. Kelim won't complain. So we have to do something to help the women out. That they shouldn't, you just have that one mikvah. Because if we would only have one mikvah with 40 sar, and then we would take the water out and put a new, but it'll take time to get your new mikvah. So what do you do? So this is what we do. So this is what you're talking about now. So what we do is like this. There is a concept called Mayim She'uvu. And Mayim She'uvim is water that was once in a vessel. So once the water is in a vessel, it's called Mayim She'uvim, even when it leaves the vessel. So if it's in a water tank or something like that, it becomes She'uvim, and it's no longer good. So we assume, the way most people assume today, that tap water is Mayim She'uvim because it was in a water meter, etc. In the pipes, water meter, whatever it is. Okay? So therefore, tap water we don't use for mitzvah, we use regular rainwater. And we do it in a way that it will collect on the roof of the mikvah and go through like some type of pipe that's not mekabel tumah, and it'll go right into the mikvah. The rainwater will lead in. So what we do now is we want to have a situation where we could have extra water. So what we do is like this. We get the 40 saw of rainwater. That's pristine rainwater. And there's a hole that's called the Nekev Hashaka. Nekev Hashaka means the hole. Hashaka is a certain amount that's open. And then, adjacent to this, we have what? Mayim She'uvim, we have tap water. Okay? And tap water, we just turn on the faucet. The tap water goes in. And then we have the two waters touch each other. In other words, there's a wall, and then the wall is a hole. And the two waters touch. And when the women go to the mikvah, they go in the tap water, not in the rainwater. And the reason that it's good is because since the tap water was what? Touching the rainwater, it's considered as if you went into the rainwater. That's called hashaka. Lashon Neshika, that the water, so to speak, kiss each other. Now, what do we gain by this? What we gain by this is that every day we could plug up the hole. At the end of the day, take all this water out, suction it out, and the next day, what? Fill up with new rainwater, and then take the plug out, and again, it'll go in, and another day of customers, and every day, and this will just remain there in the other side of the wall.
one doesn't work the other way. Why do we assume that the good water makes the bad water good? Well, that was the bad water making the good water bad.
No, because we have a klal that once you have a good mitzvah, so that's just the way the halacha works. once you have a mikvah, that is a status. So the mikvah has the potency of making other water into mikvah water that it touches. And that's what we do. And this is called, the Bor Tefila. Because this is the bore that the woman actually goes into. And this is the Bor Hashaka. Because this is the one that kisses, so to speak, the Mayim Shuvim, and it's okay. So basically, we have the rainwater coming in this way. We have the tap water coming into this way. And then we have a wall in between them. And then a hole in the wall, and we unplug the hole, and then they meet. And that's how we construct a simple mikvah. Okay? That's one way. This is called a mikvah with a Bor Hashaka. So again, really, all you need is this. You don't need this. But the reason we do this is because this way we could replenish every day. You replenish every day. Okay? Now, that's one construct of a mikvah called doing hashaka. There is another construct of a mikvah which is called Zriya. Let me tell you how that works. The way that Zriya works is like this. You have your Megishon. What is on Megishon? Now, instead of having the tap water come in over here, we did it on the opposite sides. What we do is first you have the 40-some Megishon come in. Okay? Then after it comes in, you turn on the faucet and you have the tap water coming in on top of it. The Mayim Shuvim. And then this water will overflow into here, and the woman will go in this part. This is the Bor Tefila. So this is called Zriya, like Rav Shaka said. It was like Rav Shaka said, you're like planting the tap water in the rainwater. It's not that they're just meeting in the middle. But first you have your 40 saw make shun, and then the Mayim Shuvim goes on top of it, and it overflows into the adjacent cavity. That's called the Bor Zriya.
I think that's gonna work anywhere. Like, why are we supposed to necessarily go into like so it goes on the,
there's no other place for it to go.
You have the wall.
It's built that way.
You have a higher wall and a lower wall, it's going to go over the lower wall.
There's no other place, it's contained. There's no other place for it to go.
Makes sense.
It's like the walking thing before you get into the stairs, you have like I guess it'll work, but obviously we're bad and tools on this enough that it'll work. I guess I have a hard time picturing it working. But I guess it'll do.
In other words, it's going to just flow into the... Well, you can even have a hole that flows through, whatever it is. Now, what would you say the advantage of this over this is? Why would one want to do one over the other?
Because all the water is touching the one in the Borzeria.
Right.
All the water that's flowing in is touching it, whereas over there it's only a tiny part that's kissed.
So you're saying much more is touching, so
yeah.
Maybe this is a...
Yeah.
Okay, that's one possibility. Very good. What's your name?
David.
Yeah, or... Yeah.
I have an issue with that one in terms of cleaning it out every day. How does that work?
Well, the way we'll clean it out every day is
So that one gets...
This water will be sucked out every day.
But then you don't have...
I was thinking maybe a possible issue is in the standard type for non-borzeria. If accidentally forget to plug up the hole, you might suck out all the water in the maybe shamaman shuvim, and then I have to wait for another 47. Whereas here, all it has to do is just overflow. You have huge amount of.
Yeah, but you could also, the same thing could apply there as well. He's saying...
No, meaning if you don't plug up the hole there and you stick the hose...
Okay,
there,
he's saying, so let me say something more simple than what you're saying. 1 second. You see, on one hand, one problem that you could have with this situation, with the Hashaka situation, is what happens? You say every day you suck this water out, and you refill. When you suck it out, you fill up the hole. And then you suck it out, because this water we don't want to lose, right? Because then we won't have a mikvah to have a kiss with. The problem is, and this could happen, hopefully it won't happen, but it could happen, that you refill and you forget to unplug the plug. And then people go to the mikveh,
it's not clean,
with the hashaka. Because the whole point is you fill it up and then you have to take out the plug. But if you forget to take out the plug, then you have what? Mayim Shuvim that didn't become kosher by the mikvah.
We can't rely on the chazaka that the mikvah lady is just going to remember to do it. I mean, how many times does this happen usually?
Well, look, like everything you have to do once a day, people forget.
I mean, but I'm saying, like, we have to say Mashi Peru and Marina Gashim, but after 30 days, we assume that we said it. So, I mean, these mikvah ladies, they've been doing it for years with the mikvah, so we can't just assume that she knows.
Right, but she could still forget. But over here, there's nothing to forget. Because over here, if it overflowed, it already made its contact with this Megashomim. So if you have water here, and it's only going through here, then it had to have made the contact. So that's what the Chassam Sofer explains, why people... sometimes prefer to just do a Zriya. Do it this way. Have both waters come in the same direction. Again, first the Mayim Shuvim has to be there first, and then the Mayim Shuvim afterwards. Okay?
Maybe in that case, your maybe people will just, they might become lazy and just filling the one on the right, the board fail is with the actual tap water.
Yeah, but you can't. There's no way of, in other words, the faucet is only over there.
It's not like a hose, it's just a faucet.
Right. So, in other words, so if water's here, it had to come through here.
Right.
But first, you have to make sure to make shoveling in first. Because the halacha is, what's this 40 saw make a shomer? Say you have a cavity like this. You have 40 saw of make a shomer. Then you can put like a 1,000 saw of mayan shuva on top, and it all becomes kosher. Since you have your original, you know, 40 saw on the bottom.
Yeah. I also heard that I believe it's in Chabad practice that.
Okay, we're not.
Didn't get there. All right. Didn't
get there. Okay. Now, so these are the two ways of constructing a mikvah. You can do Zri or Hashaka. So many of the mikvahs we have today try to incorporate both. And basically what they do is like this. They have the board tefillah over here. And they have two other adjacent. They have a bor hashaka here. And then they have a. So they always keep 40 saw here. And then they have a borzriya over here, and they fill it up through the borzriya. So they have both. They have the zriya and the hashaka. The question is, once you have a zriya, why do you need hashaka for? What does the hashaka add? So there's another. Okay, I can erase. Halacha called Noson Saw V'Noton Saw. Means like this. Say you have 40 saw of Megi Shaman, and then you put one saw of Mayim Shuvim in, and then you take out a saw. You put another one in. So what would be the din over there? You put in one saw of shuvim, Mason saw, and then you take out a saw. Mason saw and not also. So I'll be pashtus, it should be good. You can do it a million times. Because in the end of the day, every saw of mayim shuvim that went in became kosher. So now it's make a shuvim. So when you take out, so even though ultimately you're not going to have left with really 40 saw of pristine mayim shaman, you're going to have the co-opted mayim shaman, since you did it, but lemaisa chazal, according to the Rambam, you need rov, and in the end of the day we want at least to have the majority of real Megi Shomer. So even though if you put in a saw by Shuvim, then it becomes Hashaka. And then you take out to a million times, because everything that came in became, but we want that you have the real thing, at least the majority of the real thing. So the question is, when you're doing Zriya, there's a question of whether you're going to have Zriya overflows. So that means that a lot of the Megi Shomer is now what? Going to be in Lord Field. We'll take it out, and then we'll refill. So at the end of the day, after several months or several years, do you really have real Megi Shomer left? So many poskim hold that by Mayim Shuvim, this din doesn't apply, that you need Nosan Sov, Nosan Sov, Kosher, you know, Adrubo. So by Hashaka, the transfer of water is not as great. By Zriya, it's much greater because it's Mount Shovel flowing into there. But even by Hashaka, there's going to be a transfer of water. Because when a person's weight goes into the mikvah, so that's going to force some of the water into the maybe some of the shum are going to come out. They'll transfer, right? Because we hold that it's a machlokas, but we hold that the neker hashaka, the hashaka hole, has to be open when the person goes to the mikvah. Whereas some rishonim hold that once it kissed once, you can then close it up, and then you can go in here. And the Shach quotes rishonim that no, that it's not enough to kiss once. It has to be that the waters are kissing at the time that the person's going into the mikvah. But the problem is at the time that the person's going into the mikvah, the waters are going to, the weight, the woman's body is going to cause water to go in here and then transfer, it'll be waters. So at the end of the day, when you take this water out, you're taking some pristine, when you take, I'm sorry, this water out, you're taking some pristine rainwater out also.
I don't see how, I would see how the Mayim She'uvim would go into the rainwater, but I wouldn't see how the rainwater would go into the Mayim She'uvim once the woman goes in, because the woman goes in and pushes the tap water into the rainwater,
but what,
not
what,
the other way around.
Right, but what when she comes, yeah, but when the pressure of her body leaves, then things will could come back.
Okay.
Right?
So that would fall under the idea of nasanseya and natasaya.
Right, so that's a clue, right. So after a while, you won't have, you know, at least a majority, 21 saw a real megashama.
So I don't know. So then how would that solve the problem?
So we consider this a chumrah. In other words, really meeker hadin. In other words, you don't really need any original maim. That was 10 years after you, even though you never touched this water, but since you drained out that water every week, every day, and every day you took a little from this, and some of the rainwater thing now has what? Has some of the tap water. So how many after 2 years, 10 years, how many real pristine rainwater do you really have anymore? So if we would paskin that you could close the hole while you'd be tovel, that would be fine. But we're machmir to keep the hole open during the Shas Tvila. So since we're machmir to keep the hole open the Shas Tvila, so then we have a problem if we want to observe this din of Nosan Sov and Not Also. To try to maintain as much as we can, at least like 21 saw, of real rainwater.
But if we had a 40 saw of rainwater, not mixing anything, and the woman's body goes in, water comes out. So now there's less than 40 saw now because water spills out. That's
no,
okay?
No.
So
no.
It's not okay.
Right. In other words, if you just have exactly 40 saw, we never have exactly 40 saw because.
No, what is 40 saw?
Whatever. I mean, you have to filter out how many, it is. But Lamaisa, no, if we just have exactly, you're right, then the water on her body, then the second woman is not going to have enough. So
yeah.
we have much more, so it will never be a problem. We don't do it exactly. Oh. So the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. Who's the fifth Rebbe? The Rebbe Rashab, he came up with a new idea of how to build mikvahs. And this became the quintessential Chabad mikvah that's used all over the country. And there's Chabad mikvahs. So what did they do? Let me show you what they did. I showed you there's a Bor Hashaka, there's a Bor Zriya, right? They did something else. Make one bore. Have 40 saw, mem saw, avar, may
kishon.
Then make a floor. Instead of doing side by side, have the mayim shuvim come on top. Okay, and have another 40 saw, the mayim shuvim, mem saw. And the neck of Hashaka, instead of being in the wall outside, will be what? In the floor. And they make, I think they make two, just in case so your foot shouldn't block it up. So they make two like far apart, so it won't be a problem. And then, you'll do, the woman will toe bill here on top. And what do we gain by this? So we gain by this because usually the main gishomim are going to be rot, cold, and the water that she's going to be told is going to be heated, hot, heated, and the heat rises. So this way we have a better chance at preserving rot, the original main gishomim. So that's what he said. Do it this way, and this way you'll fulfill the din of Nosan Savanatosa, that the requirement of having real pristine rainwater, at least 21 saw of it, will be kept for much longer. And that's called a Chabad mikvah.
Is that better or worse than?
Well, so a Chabad mikvah, they hold their mikvah is the best.
Okay.
Because this way they fulfill this, this chumrah. In fact, a real Chabad will dachta want a Chabad mikvah, not a another mikvah. Dachta, huh? Then the opponents of the Chabad mikvah, they said, no, no good. Because there's another halacha. Okay, I'm going to erase a little bit. There's a Mishnah in Taurus that says Katafris Eino Chibur. Meaning if you have water on a slope, a Katafris is a slope, and you want the waters to connect, so waters on a slope don't connect. It's on a slope. Say for example, you have a slope, and in the slope, say you have a cavity of 20 saw, and then another cavity of 20 saw, and it's down the slope, and you want that these 20 saw can be connected by the flow of water to these 20 saw, so the water on a slope doesn't connect. So the opponents to Chabad say, this is the best, this is a 90 degree slope. Look at this. This is mamash. If this is a slope, 90 degrees, that's the steepest slope. So maybe, as you're trying to accomplish the chumrah of maintaining the original water, maybe this whole hashaka is not good. Because maybe a hashaka can't be on the slope. So when it's side by side, you know, the original case I gave you, so there's no slope at all. It's flat. Side by side is flat. But you have one on top of the other, that's like a 90 degree thing. So that's not flat, that's perpendicular. So maybe this is a violation of Katafris Eino Chibur, and Mela, there's no, therefore we won't view that these two parts are connected, because it's a slope, and Mela, the Hashaka won't be good, and Mela, if somebody goes into such a mikvah, it won't be good. So the opponents, the Chabad, say no good. Katasha say no kibur. So what does Chabad say back?
I'm not a representative of Chabad. I just have a question.
Right, so Chabad says back that when we say a slope is not a chibur, that's only when the water is moving down a slope. But if the water is stationary, that's not a problem of katafu sein chibur. So here, it's stationary water. It's just, you have a cavity of water, a floor, and water on top. So everything is confined. So that's not a problem of katafu sein chibur. So it's not a problem. So others who want us to do Chabad, but they are worried that that's no good, so what they do is, they do like this. They have a Chabad like this, and then they put another bor on the side, a bor hashaka, and they open it here, and this way, so even if this is no good, you'll have this one over here. So therefore they're safe, because they want to have them maintain the 40 saw, so this will be maintained. Ah, but maybe this is not a good connection, so it's connected over here.
So who does this, who uses this kind of mikvah?
Oh, so that's an offtake of Chabad. They'll do...
No, but that doesn't work, because the whole point of doing the Chabad mikvah is to maintain the 40 stuff, right? But then you have the side one, believe, so you say, okay, maybe the bottom, top and bottom aren't working. So now the only real one is the side-by-side one, so then you're not maintaining the 40 stuff anymore.
Right, but since the whole thing is only a chumrah, so it was really the whole, this is really good.
Yeah.
But if you want to say that at least it's no good, so then we're no worse than the other mikvah. So either we have to gain, but we definitely don't have to lose. You see, if you only have one, you have something to gain, but you maybe have everything to lose. So at least you do here, you won't have to lose. At least it'll be equal.
Okay.
Oh, so what's the average mikvah today in your modern community that has these multi-million dollar mikvahs? So what they do today, and then I'll take your questions. What they do today is they do like this. They have a bort viva, and then they have a bor zriya and a bor hashaka. And the bor hashaka, they make it. You see, the Lubavitch mikvah is called, the regular mikvah is called bor al gabi bor. That's what the Lubavitch mikvah is called, and that's the Rebbe Rashab of Sholem Baer Rashab. He was the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, seven Rebbes. Balatanya was the first Rebbe, and then there was the Mittler Rebbe, the Marash, and then the Tzemach Tzedek was the third, Marash, Rashab, Friedrich, So what they do is, they do this, Bor Zriba, and then in the Bor HaShaka, they make it Bor Al Gabi Bor. So they put the Bor HaShaka, I can't draw it, but in other words, they draw in the Bor HaShaka, they make in that cavity, they make water on the bottom, and then a floor, and water on the top, so they make this Bor Al Gabi Bor. So they have all the Hidur. So this way they do the Bor Al Gabi Bor. They don't do it underneath the Bor Tvila, they do it Minatzah.
But the separation in the Bor Shaka?
Okay. Yeah. Well, within the Bor Shaka is attached to the Bor Tvila,
yeah.
And it also has two levels in the Bor Shaka.
With a hole in it to get...
Right, in other words, they have...
cold water on the bottom.
Then a floor, which no one goes into.
Yeah.
With a hole, two holes, whatever, and then another hole on top of that.
So why do you need two holes then? If no one's going to...
Yeah, okay, one hole, whatever. Then
so they have three bores?
So basically, we have...
Four.
How many? Five. five boards. The board tefillah is one. The board zri is two. Four. Board tefillah is one. The board zri is two. And the board hashaka is bor al gabi bor, so it's four. And that's what modern day mikveh. Because you see, a mikveh, when people build a mikveh, they want to build it with all the hidurim. It's like an Erev, so you can say, okay, you won't use the Erev, you know. But a mikveh is something everyone has to use. So you want to build it that everyone will be satisfied. So usually, a mikveh they build with all the chumers.
Then how do they get the water into the second, into the borash you have a wall here, you have the pour.
No, they'll get rainwater, say, from the ceiling, from the roof. It'll fall on the roof, and then they'll go into a straight pipe that's not the Kabel Tumma, and then that pipe will lead into a cavity in the ground. And the same thing by the Borzria. But the only thing is, Borzria, then they'll open the faucet, and they'll have the water, after it's full, they'll have the water flow over.
So the bottom bor in the bor hashaka isn't touching the water in the bor tefillah; it's just touching the water in the bor in the upper bor hashaka.
Right.
These are all just for women, but for men, because you don't
need. Oh, so we'll talk about men's mikvah in a second.
Yeah. With the bor hashaka, it's technically perfectly okay to just do tefillah in the bor hashaka because if it's a bor on the bor.
Right. But we don't do that because we want to have the. We don't want that to get dirty, and we want to maintain that water. So the water that we let people in is only in the bor tefillah, which is whenever there's a bor zriya, it means ultimately it got filled up through the bor zriya. Now, there's a thing you'll hear about called a men's mikvah. So what does a men's mikveh mean? So a men's mikveh technically means that it's just a body of water with tap water in it. No hashaka, no nothing. So what's the point? It's not a good mikveh. So the point is, you see, men sometimes go to mikveh just to fulfill Takanas Ezra. Because Ezra made a takana that if a person is a balkari, semen came out of his body, he can't daven, he can't learn unless he goes to the mikveh. So Kal Yisrael couldn't, it was too much for Kal Yisrael to do. So it fell by the wayside. But still, there's some people that still want to try to fulfill it to the best of their. So Takanas Ezra is not a real requirement. So Ezra's, in his takana was that if you go into Mayim Shuvim, it's enough to cleanse you that you could daven and learn. You're still a balkari. You can't go into whatever restrictions there are to eat kachim and things like that. You're still tamei, but to be mata, you the davening. So the fact that you went into Mayim Shuvim is good enough. So that's why some chassidim, they'll go to mikveh every day. They'll go in a what's called a men's mikveh. Now, Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that when someone goes to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur and perhaps even Erev Rosh Hashanah, when men are meant to go, so they should go into a kosher mikveh because to get the tara. Because if it's a men's mikveh, there's no purification. It's just a hetzer for davening. And the whole idea of Yom Kippur is we want tara to lose the status of balkeri, to be tohar, and that you only do if you have a real.
Do you have to wait also? Like, right. Time, or you're immediately from.
Well, for certain things, the Yitruma, the first mission, Bracha says you have to wait till the night time.
What kind of Tahar are we trying to get on every Kippur?
I mean, that you should lose the status of Balkari.
But not Tahar enough that you need Truma. Like, for Kohen Nidre, for Kohen Nidre, it's not nightfall yet, so you're still not tahor enough to eat truma. You didn't eat truma anyway.
Well, then you eat truma.
Yom Kippur, but
well, Harav Shemesh. No, you will be because once Yom Kippur comes, it's nightfall. So by nightfall, you become tahor even with truma.
Okay. But we're on Beisam Nightfall yet because we're just in staff where we're accepting Yom Kippur earlier.
Okay.
So we can't make it Nightfall. Even though if I accept Shabbat, it doesn't mean it's Nightfall yet. It just means.
Right. Okay. So technically, but once Nightfall hits, then the full power.
According to the kind of sensor, why can't you just get in your bathtub?
Yeah, so one second. Now, let me make another point. Now, people often make a mistake, and I don't want you to make this mistake. And when we say a mikveh for kelim that we buy from goyim, that cannot be used in a men's mikveh. People think, oh, kelim, men's mikveh. No. Kelim, mikveh for kelim, has to be a woman, a mikveh that a neder could be tovel in, the Gemara says. You understand? And the only reason why it looks different is because we don't have all those, we just have one cavity, as I said, because the kelim don't complain. So we can keep being told of them. So therefore, it doesn't have to be such a mikveh really doesn't have to be so expensive. It's one cavity in the ground and let it rain, it'll be fine. What makes all the expenses is because we want to be able to have clean water for the women. So we have to have ways of getting rid of the water and replenishing the water, living in a world where it's not going to rain automatically. So therefore we have to have, so therefore what we do is we co-opt this tap water and we make it into rainwater.
Can you put all this in the before, like for a kelim, like you don't want like algae or something grow in the mikvah, so can you put stuff to make sure like algae doesn't grow? Because the water's like sitting there for days, it never changed, the water's never being changed ever in a kelim mikvah. So can you put all those in the mikvah water? But that's not good.
Like chemicals.
Yeah, so this is a discussion how to, are you allowed to, filtering is a discussion and other things. Is it a problem? Not a problem. That's a whole different topic.
So I know the kelim is not good, but it smells like bleach. So as soon as there's something in there, it smells terrible.
I
can't
be the water eating.
What?
Just be the algae growing.
It could be. Everything smells terrible in there, and the dishes smell terrible after. It smells like the bugs were bleached. So I assume that they put something in there. I don't know.
Yeah. Then what was your question?
Why can't you just fulfill the concessor by going in your bathtub?
I mean, Mikur didn't. You might be able to fulfill Takan Sezra by going in the shower if you stay there long enough.
Because I know Rav Moshe Paskin says that you're not submerging yourself in the shower.
What?
I know Rav Moshe Paskin says that you're not submerging yourself. You go in.
No, no. But for Takan Sezra, going in the shower is not a mikveh, but Takan Sezra says either you go into 40 saw of Mayim Shuvim, where you have test cabin Mayim Shuvim poured on you. So if you have a shower and you stay under the shower long enough, then
you can't move under there. I kind of stay in the shower, just stay under the shower head for
right.
12 minutes.
So then you'll at least maybe have a touch on the sensor.
The Indian of Kaaba Bukhami doesn't apply?
No, because Takanas Ezra, either you go with Mayim Shuvim, or you have another din by Takanas Ezra that being poured on water is also good for Takanas Ezra. Because Takanas Ezra has nothing to do with being Matahi, because you don't become tar, because it's not a real mikvah. It's just a special halacha to permit you to daven. And which even that we don't really accept, but it's a chumrah to the Takanas Ezra. Okay. It's interesting, Mizmah Chazal, they used to, clean themselves off in water after the mikveh, because I guess the mikvehs weren't so clean. So then Chazal made a takana that you can't do that, because then people are going to stop to go to mikveh. They're going to think that the cleansing thing is really the Mayim Shuvim. Whereas people go to mikveh and then they would bathe themselves into shuvim water, which was clean water. So we're afraid if we let you do that.
So you can't take an active. I said I go to the mikvah or the bar. I can't take a shower.
Right. So there's a whole discussion whether you're allowed to take a shower or a bath after the mikvah, or that may invalidate the mikvah.
Well, you have to take one at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question is.
How long?
Right. So some say it means that day. Some say it means only if you do it at the mikvah. Or not further.
Why do you have to do it at the mikvah?
Because then it looks like then that's part of the purification process. And then we're afraid that you're going to say, like Rav Shechter says, why do I need step one that makes me dirty and step two that cleanses me? I'll just skip step one and do step two. But if you do it at home, you won't say that's part of the purification.
Oh, so if you do it at home, it's fine.
So right, that's what some poskim hold.
Right.
And then the question comes with a woman. Some poskim are of the opinion, based on the Rambam, that a woman shouldn't take a shower after the mikvah until she has intimacy with her husband. In other words, she shouldn't shower first, but.
So like if she's expecting her husband to come home and her husband went on a business trip.
Right.
Her
so right.
Come home and her husband doesn't come home, she's changing her shower.
Right. So some say that again, maybe if she's not in the mikveh, she's taking it at home, or she's not doing it, she waits a day or something like that. That there could, you know, there could be different leniencies upon that. Okay. And then there's a concept of hamshacha, that even the mayim shuvim we let in the mikveh, we don't let directly, we have it roll into the mikveh, so because that may be, some say, according to midaraisa, might take away the tumah. Okay, there's a lot of different complications, but I think this presentation, I think at least gives you, opens up another area of halacha to you, of what's behind the mikveh. You know, it's a whole, you just see a body of water, you think it's so simple. And there's a lot behind the scenes of the mikveh. And of course, mikveh requires proper upkeep. And, you know, it shouldn't be leaks, you know, because then it could be a puzzle. And different things of those sorts.
So why is the hole not fair to leak?
Because it just goes into another mikveh. That's an excellent question. So it's combined. But if there would be a crack and that would go out into oblivion, then
as long as there's something, if I see the leak in my mikveh, I put a bucket underneath there. It goes into another container.
No.
Big enough thing.
No, it's another bore.
Yeah. Otherwise, it just turns into a mikveh.
Maybe
you
think about it. Yeah. Okay. So, Rosh Hashanah, next week is the last. So, next week it's left open.
Yeah.
If you have any, does anyone have any? I can't say I'll follow your suggestion, but if you have any suggestions, Okay. You can always see me in the street and.